Hello, welcome to King's Church Bangor Sermon Podcast. We hope and pray that this message helps you in your journey with God and blesses you this week. If you want to find out more about King's Church, then head to our website, kingschurchbangor.org, or you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook for more updates.
So today we're continuing our series, We Are King's Church. Last week we looked at disappointment and disillusionment, which is a funny place to start when you're thinking of, you know, vision and the new way forward. But we felt we needed to look at the past and some of the things that we've been through as individuals and some of the things that we've been through as a church. And we heard a prophetic word from Sarah Clark. And we talked about taking time in God's presence and letting God minister to us, that transforming presence that can change us within. And as a direct result of that, as Ian's mentioned, this evening we're meeting at 7 o'clock and we're just going to take time soaking in God's Holy Spirit. That's our aim, just to take time with each other, with the Lord, just to be in his presence and to see what he does. We've got a sort of a plan, but hopefully we're open to what God wants to do amongst us. So if he wants to do something a bit different, hopefully we're open to that. I'm expectant about this evening. I'm expecting God to really meet with us, to minister to us. I think it's an important time as we get together. So please do consider coming along. You can register for that or just come along this evening at 7 o'clock. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the word of God, which endures forever. Thank you that we can base our lives on your living word, which changes us, challenges us, transforms us. Thank you that it is truth, which speaks into our souls and speaks into the world. We pray this morning, give us grace this morning to hear from you, to be challenged by you, and to meet with you. Amen. Okay, so this morning we're looking at We Are King's Church, we are community, we are family. And I want to start off with John 13, verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal and began to wash his disciples' feet. I love these verses. Jesus is facing enormous challenge. He's about to go to the cross. And how does he face it? He orientates himself. He grounds himself. He reminds himself all power comes from the Father. He is in control. That he, Jesus, came from the Father. That's his identity. That's where he's come from. And that he, Jesus, is going back to the Father. That's his calling. That's his destiny, where he's going. And then flowing from that, he's able to get down on his hands and knees and perform the menial task of washing the disciples' feet. And then later, giving himself up obediently on the cross. So this morning we're going to consider where we have come from, some of who we are, and we'll start to explore a bit of what we do and where we're going. Sam's going to take that forward more in the next couple of weeks. Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I wonder what words or phrases come to your mind when you think of a tree. Solid, strong, tall, giving life to the environment around it. And yet its leaves sensitive to the wind, to the seasons around it. And if you liken Kings to a tree, we're going to look at the roots, the branches, and the leaves. the roots drawing from where we've come from, and our origins and values. The branches, our structure, how we're structured here. And then our leaves, our life together as family. So first of all, let's look at our roots. So often organizations will reflect the founding values and ideas that started them. But sometimes as they grow, they can veer off and they can lose that original purpose for which they were set up. They lose their bearings. So what about us? Where do we come from? Well, actually, the roots of Kings probably goes back to the early 1970s. I hasten to add, I wasn't involved in those days. But I know it was born from a group of students who were deeply burdened by the state of the province and the state of the church. In those days, the troubles were just kicking off. There was violence on the streets. And these guys prayed at every opportunity. It wasn't just a matter of they scheduled quite a few prayer meetings. Prayer was a lifestyle. They prayed before lectures. They prayed at lunchtime. They prayed in the evenings. They prayed all night. It was a real burden. God was working something in them. And they had that lifestyle of prayer. And out of that lifestyle of prayer evolved community. They were doing things together, and men and women found real community and life together. That became a feature. And during that time, there was a fresh movement of the Holy Spirit moving through some of the churches. And they got caught up in that. So they discovered the Holy Spirit, who'd been largely neglected in the mid-20th century. And so awakened in them this passion for free and vibrant communal worship. They rewrote hymns with new tunes. They sung hymns, 12, 13 verses over and over again. I remember some of that. but that's what they did. And biblical teaching was also a key feature. We had prominent Bible teachers who came to Bangor and taught us. And our founding figure was John Kelly, who was a very good and strong Bible teacher. And we helped in the local community. So we had an employment scheme at a time of high unemployment. We helped to skill up and develop young people to be able to get jobs. We did work on the streets. And we also developed a strong interest in reaching across the nations with a number of groups going out to different places, particularly North Africa. In 1985, we purchased this building and it became known as King's Fellowship. There's lots I haven't included. And if you want to hear more about the very early days, you could speak to the likes of Phil Pope here, or Ian, John and Lorna Crone, Trevor and Sandra Kyle, would know a lot more about those days than I remember. But God has indeed blessed us and helped us. And we've also been through difficult times. I remember one particularly dark time thinking, I wonder, will we be able to keep going? And then maybe the more fundamental question, I wonder, should we keep going? Maybe we should just disperse, go to some local churches. Why not? But it was that sense of community, those relationships, which certainly for me, and I think probably for everyone, was what kept us here, that we felt, no, God is still here. God is still here, and that kept us together. So those, at least, are some of the roots of who we are, and it's shaped what we've become. A deep, passionate lifestyle of prayer, family and community, sharing lives together, spirit-filled, being open to the prophetic word, to gifts of the Spirit, and a real passionate worship, really giving ourselves to God. Biblical, life-giving, life-applying teaching, and then that missional focus, both locally and beyond. These are our roots, our DNA, if you like. And of course, we want to grow and adapt. We don't want to just stick with the past and to remember those days, but we want to be looking to the future, what fresh things that does God have for us in the future, but mindful of where we've come from as well. So those are our roots, and those are something of our values, if you like. And then if we turn now to the branches, branches are important, and the structures are important. You can have all the life, but if you don't have the structure, it can all come crashing down. So we need structures. And hopefully some of this information will help you just realize some of what we are, particularly if you're fairly new here. It'll give you insight as to who we are and why we do some of the things we do. So if we can bring up the slide of the leadership team, thanks to Shannon, who took these photographs last week. So there are currently seven of us on the leadership team, and Sam Deacon, our recently appointed assistant pastor, he attends our meetings. Sam, I have to say, has been a breath of fresh air. He's great, and he just brings so much of his experience from other churches to us. So I'll quickly read out the names because you might not be able to read them. So we've got Ian and Leslie Stewart, William Thompson, Ruth Justin, Stevie Garrett, Sam Deacon, and Lynn and myself. So what is the leadership's team role, and what are our characteristics? Well, first of all, we're a spiritual community within a community. We try not to operate like a board of directors or a committee, but we're a spiritual community, a team, and we try to discern what is God saying? What is God saying for us as a church? And lead the church forward on that basis. We're listening to God. A second characteristic is there's not one of us. There's effectively eight of us sitting to meet as leaders. We lead as a team. And we strongly believe that this is a healthy way to operate. We're not a one-man band. Within the team, I act as the facilitator, but I certainly don't call all the shots. And biblically, if you look at Paul, when Paul talks about churches and the elders, it's always in the plural. He doesn't say the leader of the church. He talks about the elders in the church. We believe that a one-person-led church will lack the balance, diversity, and soundness that a wider team brings. It's what Jesus modeled with his disciples, what we see in the book of Acts. We might not move as quickly as in the short term as a one man or one woman band, but it's more sustainable and it's more balanced. Third characteristic is accountability. Character is more important than gifting. Yes, we need both, but character is essential. And many of you will have recently heard of the downfall of a number of high-profile Christian leaders. Some of those leaders, probably most of them, very gifted. But flaws in character eventually surfaced. And when I read the reports about those leaders, what didn't seem to be there was a framework of accountability. And when a gifted, charismatic person gets up and seems to be getting all the results, more people coming, more money coming in, people helped, they can feel they're above challenge. Well, who are you to challenge me? Look, everything's going well. I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing. But we mustn't allow that ever to be the case. None of us are flawless. We are all work in progress and will remain work in progress. So within the team, we hold each other accountable. So I meet up every few weeks with Ian Stewart, for instance, and he's able to challenge me about my marriage, my devotional life. You can just ask questions as to how I'm getting on. Or if he sees something, Peter, maybe you got a bit, you know, in the leadership team, be just careful how you handle that. He's open to challenge me and me to challenge him. and we challenge each other, and that's good and that's healthy. Another characteristic is servants. We try to be servants. Ephesians 4 makes it clear that spiritual gifts and ministries are given by Christ for the equipping of the saints. That's you guys. That's all of us. We're not here to build ourselves up. We believe in the priesthood of believers. That means we're all ministers. It's not I'm the minister or Ian's the minister. We are all ministers. We are here to be equipped and to minister in our lives to those around us. So our role as leaders is to serve, to equip everyone so that we can all minister to those around us. So that's the leadership team. We meet every 2 weeks, and sometimes we have to meet more than that. But we do meet every 2 weeks. And we pray for you guys. We think about particular pastoral situations, and then we have a number of other things on our agenda. Another grouping is the trustees. So I don't have any mug shots for the trustees. So here's the trustees. Ali Pope, Cliff Courtney, Sam Hard, Ian, myself, and Andrew Johnson's our financial advisor, and David Mason runs the payroll and advises just on employment and payroll matters. The trustees are not a category of leadership recognized in the New Testament, but by law we're required to have them for charitable status. And they have a remit, so if we can just bring that slide up. I'm not going to read these out. You can read them for yourselves, but they're really valuable. The trustees bring a really valuable role to us as a church, as a charity. They bring skills to us, and they bring challenge to the thinking of the leadership team, which is really good. So they do challenge, and that's important, and we welcome that. It's a healthy safeguard. Sometimes you can get too close to something and think, yeah, you know, we just get too familiar, and then somebody from the outside can say, well, hold on a minute. You know, have you thought of this or have you thought of that? And right enough. We better do something. We better address that. So please pray for the trustees. They carry a heavy responsibility. And I'm really grateful for the time and diligence that they bring. Then the staff team. So there's the staff team. Again, deeply grateful for all the work that they do week after week. They are essential to us running smoothly and to taking on new things. They are paid for a set number of hours, but I know they all work on a voluntary basis much more than that. So we're very grateful for them. So Leslie Stewart there. Leslie's probably the longest on the team. And she looks after the finances and church administration, and she's paid for around 16 hours per week. Sarah Etheridge looks after our communications and our graphics. I mean, that's why we've got this slide here, because of Sarah, and she works 10 hours per week. Sam Deacon, our assistant pastor, he works 3 days per week. Shannon McLean, our AV coordinator, looks after all the cameras and live streaming and all those things I don't understand. And he works 5 hours a week. Ron Graham, he sets chairs out. The chair you're sitting this morning is there because Ron put it out sometime during the week. And he cleans, and he works 7 hours per week. Myself and Lynn, while we're not on payroll, we attend the weekly staff meeting. And we seek to act as a bridge between the leadership team and the staff team. And I also steer the meeting. And excitingly, we're going to have another person up there sometime, I hope, in the next 2 or 3 months, because we're going to recruit a youth worker. In King's, we have a small but important number of youth. And Stevie Garrett and a small team have been doing a great job leading KYC. But we're aware we have quite a large number of children at upper primary age, and soon they're going to be at that youth level. And we want to invest in this youth area now and not just wait until we have a lot of teenagers and we're thinking, what do we do with these guys? So we're going to be recruiting a part-time youth worker sometime in the next few weeks. So that's the staff. Now, I want to just talk a little bit just outside of Kings, but it's important to us, is the apostolic. Yes, that is the right slide. So in the book of Acts, each church appointed its own elders, and they're accountable to God for the church. The buck stops with the elders, the leadership team. But we also see in the New Testament another layer, the apostolic. The church operated in a dynamic network linked to the apostolic teams and the apostles. Apostles had a significant role in the life, leadership, and direction of the churches. And you think of Paul, you think of Timothy, you think of others who went round the churches, encouraging them, building them up, admonishing them, writing to them. It's not a hierarchy of command, but rather strong relational links. So you might ask, maybe you can't make it out, but that's actually a pair of boots. What are the pair of boots doing up there when we're talking about apostles? So I was Googling photographs about apostles, and there are all these photographs of churches and things coming up. In the midst of all that, there was a pair of boots, and I thought, why boots? And then I thought of Paul. I'm sure Paul's boots were very worn out. He set off on many missionary trips around different churches, encouraging them, building them up, establishing new ones, and that was the work of the apostle. So his boots were worn out, so that's the reason. In recent years, we've started building a relationship with a movement called Tabar. It's made up of a number of churches, largely in the north, but a few in the south. And some of you may have been along to some conferences in Lurgan run by Tabar. Hopefully in the coming months, once we get past a bit more of COVID-19, they'll be able to open things up and all of us will be able to get more exposure to them. Practically, the leadership team meet with teams from Tabar every few months. In fact, we had them here last Monday, and as usual, they brought a lot of encouragement and challenge. They bring like a safety net to help resolve conflict when that's needed. In times of crisis, they're there to support us, advise us individually or corporately. They are that fresh pair of eyes that coming in from the outside, they can just ask us questions, challenge us. But they bring extra skills to the table, and there's accountability as well. And hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll be able to show a video about Tabor and show a bit more about how we fit in with them. So that is our structure. I'm going to talk a little bit now about the leaves. That's the life of the church. That's us as kings. We need each other, and we're valued, not just for what we do, but for who we are. And whether you're 9 years old or 90 years old, male or female, able or disabled, and we're all disabled in some way, aren't we? We're all to be valued. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not going to say so much about the leaves, as I say Sam's going to deal with that in the coming weeks, but what I want to emphasize is this is church. We are church. It's not the leadership team's church, certainly not my church. We are church. We do it together. We're family, and we share life's ups and downs together. And how we think about church is important. It's a bit like the difference between a hotel and a home, and I'm grateful for Sam for this illustration. If we go to a hotel, we expect everything to be in place. We expect the room to be ready, it to be clean, everything set out. We don't do the dishes after our meal, we don't vacuum clean. And if there's a fault, if there's a problem, we go to the management and say, could you get that sorted? That's not quite right. And the management should go and do something. It's impersonal, it's convenient, and it's task-focused. And of course, we want our homes to be ready, clean, and everything in place. But if it's a bit messy, we go into the cupboard, and we who call it home get out the vacuum cleaner, and we start doing clearing it up. If there's a fault, we see how we can get it fixed. So how do we look on King's Church? Do we treat this place? Do we treat each other? Do we treat it as a hotel or as a home? If something's not quite right, do we maybe complain inwardly? They should do something about that. Or do we think we should do something about that? What can we do? Here in King's, we have such a brilliant many volunteers who just give themselves to volunteering here. Faithful, cheerful, diligent. And as an example, and you're probably aware of this, early this month, I got a text from somebody saying, the ladies' toilets really need something done to them. Would you mind if a group of us went down and painted them and did something to them? Would I mind? Would I mind? And what a brilliant job they did. And what a lovely attitude. Would you mind if we did something and helped? They saw a need, and instead of saying somebody should do something about it, they took it on themselves. Fantastic. So my challenge is this home for you? If you call King's your spiritual home, please get involved. Serve in some way if you're not already. It is more blessed to give than receive. Okay, in the giving, there's sacrifice of time, of money, of effort, but there's a real blessing. And we are the body of Christ. Look around this morning. No, I may not. Look around this morning. Who do you see? You see bodies. You see the body of Christ. And as we serve each other, we are serving the body of Christ. So back to where we started, John 13. Jesus came to serve and not to be served. He washed the disciples' feet. He is our example. If this is home, let's serve God together. Let's engage by joining in our community groups, by serving in rotas, whatever it takes, investing financially. Maybe this is time to recommit. Maybe you've been disengaged. COVID-19 has been difficult, and many of us have been stuck at home on Sunday mornings. Maybe this is time to re-engage. Or maybe you've joined recently and you're thinking, where can I serve? And I just want to acknowledge, because this is important, that for some of you, your main area of service is outside of King's. The kingdom of God is bigger than King's Church. And for many of you, there's an area of service which is outside what we do in this building. And that's great. That's really good. And we want to support you in that. So please, please, I'm not saying all the services here. We serve in our families, in our jobs, in other things. That's really important. And we do want to support you in that. In the coming weeks, we'll be giving some more information about areas you can get involved with in coming teams. But two particular areas just want to draw your attention to. The tea and coffee rota, we do need people to serve in that. It's a great team. It's a great thing to do. I love getting my tea and coffee after the service. So if you're interested in getting involved in that, please speak to Eleanor Mitchell. The other area is presenting these slides in the mornings. We have a few vacancies there. It'd be great if we could get more people involved. If you're interested in doing that, we provide training. Please speak to Shannon McLean. please do that. But we will be bringing extra information. So what I'm encouraging us to do is, this is family. Let's engage. Let's engage with whatever area that we're able to. And some of us got more time than others. That's fine. We're family. But let's engage. Let's give ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, help us to hear your voice this morning. Grant us willing hearts. May we not be those who hang back. We thank you for the example of Jesus, who came to serve and not to be served. Work in us, we pray, that we might lay down our lives for each other. Of ourselves, we can't do this. So, Holy Spirit, we pray, empower us in what we do, in who we are. Amen.